Welcome back into the program on a Tuesday as we roll on. This is the final week before the first week of college football season. An interesting show planned for you today. We'll get to a special feature of the Bun Sports Show that will be taking place this football season in just a moment. We didn't get a chance to address the Associated Press Top 25 poll that came out over the weekend. And I want to give you the top 25, how many SEC teams are involved in just a moment. But I want to introduce a new aspect of the Bun Sports Show. It's going to be called, I am joined here by a guest that does not go by a first and last name, but rather the college football professor. We are joined, and he is going to be with us every single week analyzing college football, the goings-on the previous week, and we're also going to be looking ahead toward the next week as we continue down the road to college football, and he joins us this week as we are 2 weeks out. Professor, it's good to see you.
It's great to be here, to come and talk about football. You know, Jacob, it's like dough. The football season right now is like the baker kneading his bread, getting it ready to put in the oven. And everybody's been mashing it, pulling it, twisting it, making all kind of shapes with it. But when he finally puts it in the oven, then we begin to smell the dough cooking, and we know that is football season. And I can almost smell from the oven the great aroma of the bread cooking, and it's about ready. It's about time for the football season to begin.
Well, we're happy to have the college football professor with us each week as an installment on the Bun Sports Show. Yesterday, in all the hoopla about Jordan Jefferson, we also talked to Bill Ryder from FoxSports.com. Great conversations with him, but we failed to mention the AP Top 25 that came out over the weekend. And no surprise, Oklahoma is atop that poll. Alabama comes in second. 8 SEC teams make the list, and I'll just quickly run down the list of teams as you may well know by now. Oregon was third. LSU fourth. Boise State 5th, Florida State comes in 6th, Stanford 7th, Texas A&M 8th, Oklahoma State 9th, and Nebraska 10th. From the SEC on down, South Carolina came in at number 12, Arkansas at number 15. Similar to the coaches' poll, Georgia 19, Mississippi State 20, Florida 22. Auburn, defending national champions, snuck in at 23, and USC finished at 25, and that's significant because they are ineligible to be a part of the USA Today coaches poll because of their ongoing probation. But that doesn't affect the AP. They are 25th in the AP, and Texas, for the first time since Mack Brown's first season in 1998, has been left out of the top 25, Associated Press preseason top 25. Interesting there. Professor, do you have any thoughts just looking at this AP top 25 preseason? It's obviously a shot in the dark, but do you have any thoughts on it?
Yes, I do. I was thinking about as you read that poll from top to bottom, and I thought of four teams that I feel like that are ready, primed, they got the pump primed, and they're ready to go. Oklahoma, Alabama, Wisconsin, and LSU. When I think about those four teams, I think of all four of those teams as being loaded with talent, offense, defense. They're ready to go. But Oklahoma has a talented and experienced quarterback, maybe the best quarterback of all that either of these teams will have, at least on paper. And then Alabama, loaded, and they have quarterbacks that are talented but inexperienced. Wisconsin is loaded. They have a quarterback who is experienced and talented. Mm-hmm. And then LSU is loaded, but we don't know about their quarterback.
Yeah, I was just thinking about Wisconsin earlier today, and I was pinning my Big Ten preview for the site, and it's hard to go against Wisconsin. You look at their schedule, they have a pretty non-eventful road comparatively, but it's hard to go against them because they are the kind of team. It kind of reminds me of Auburn last year. They have all of the pieces in place around the quarterback position, but they just need that playmaker to put them over the top, and I wonder if Russell Wilson isn't the guy. It'll be interesting to see. We're going to look back at a little bit of the 2010 season and reflect on that before we get started with the 2011 season, which will be in high gear, of course, starting next Thursday night. And the professor has come with some thoughts reflectively on college football.
Well, you know, Jacob, there are four things that come to my mind when I look back as we get ready for this new football season. And when I look back, there are four things that come to my mind. First of all is the dominance of the SEC. We see that continually. Well, they've won five straight national championships, and we know that they have teams right around the top, some of the best teams in the country, some of the better teams that really don't get the recognition they might deserve because they lose two or three games in the difficult SEC. And then the second thing that comes to my mind is the weak Texas team last year. I think that was a real surprise to all of us. I can't remember that UCLA score, but I remember it was quite a one-sided game. But I remember when I saw that score, it was just hard to believe that Texas could fall that much. And the third thing was what a joy it was to watch some great receivers last year. Green from Georgia, Jones from Alabama, Blackman from Oklahoma State, or Jeffrey from South Carolina. They're all just really outstanding receivers, and it was a joy to watch them. And then the fourth thing is I'm continuing to be amazed at the growth of college football. And I attribute one of the main factors of the growth of college football to being the BCS. I think the BCS has caused college football to have a great growth in interest and development.
The BCS has had an interesting impact, and I think one of the aspects we're going to dive into with the professor later on in the year, or as we progress, and of course those BCS standings will come out week 7 or 8, mid-October, mid to late October. He is a proponent of the BCS and one who thinks the BCS has done a lot of good for college football and should stay in place, and the playoff should not come to the sport. Now, he would be obviously in disagreement with many pundits around the country, but it is an interesting position and one that we want to get into at a later date for sure. So I don't think you want to miss that. Okay, looking ahead, 2011 is upon us. Last year we saw a team come out of nowhere to win the national championship, but this year everybody thinks it's around, like you said, the Alabama, LSU, SEC West is very talented, both very talented teams, and then you have Wisconsin from the Big Ten, and as you said, Oklahoma, who is coming out of the Big 12. A lot of people think they could run the table if they can get past the early game against Florida State. So what do you see as we, you know, general sense of the 2011 college football season?
Jacob, as we look at the coming year, one of the things, before I would list some intriguing things that I think are going to have great impact, but something that's just really on the horizon is the fact that Virginia Tech has a schedule that with a bounce of the ball here or there, they could very well end the season undefeated, because of the schedule that they have. And sometimes we see that the best team, the team with the most talent, team with the best coach, all those kind of things, they can have a slip-up. And another team that might not be quite as talented can run through an easier schedule and arrive at home base unscathed. Mm-hmm. So that kind of intrigues me. But when I look back, there are two or three areas that I really think a lot about. First of all is the change of the conferences: Nebraska, Utah, Colorado, and Utah State, mm-hmm. and Boise State. Now, Boise State going to the Mountain West, Colorado and Utah to the Pac-10, and Nebraska to the Big Ten. Don't you think that's going to have a great impact on what this season is going to look like?
Oh, I do. I think the Big Ten championship game in and of itself is going to be huge. And Nebraska, you talk about a team coming into a conference. A lot of times you would think that the team coming in, would take it a while to adjust or compete for the championship. But I don't think Nebraska is going to have that problem. You look at their division. They're not in the same division with Wisconsin. They can, or Ohio State, they can compete for that championship game. I think Michigan State will probably be their stiffest competition in their division. So I look for Nebraska to be a huge asset to the Big Ten. As far as the Big 12, I wrote last year that I thought they took a couple of steps backwards when the conference expansion, and I still believe that. It's going to come down to Texas and Oklahoma. It will be interesting, though, to see the Big 12. Last year we saw the Big Ten had three, Wisconsin, Michigan State, and Ohio State. I think that there's a good possibility we could see multiple champions come out of the Big 12 with the new alignment.
That's a very great possibility. Can you imagine in Lincoln, Nebraska, how they're feeling right now? Don't you just imagine there's a special excitement in with Nebraska and their fans as they now move into an absolute new venture to the Big Ten and just a lot of things that probably have them excited?
Well, many have said Nebraska is a great fit for the Big Ten, and I happen to agree with that. I think they are. They're in the Midwest, the edge of the Midwest there, and I think they will compete well. As I said, the division sets up nicely for them. They don't have to. They're not in the same. They're not competing with Ohio State and Wisconsin. I don't think. Now they may be in the. I may be stepping all over myself, but I don't know if they're in the big division with Penn State or not. But they seem to have the easiest road to get there. I don't think they have the most talented team in the Big Ten, or maybe not in the top two. But I think you'll see them in the Big Ten first ever Big Ten championship game.
No, they're not in the same division. You know, we always talk about which is the champions and which is the leaders. And the one thing, if you remember, you can look at the M and N's plus Iowa, and right, that's one division. So that's that means Nebraska's not in.
So they
State's.
Really don't have a whole lot of competition in their division other than Michigan State.
That's right. And another thing, Utah is probably making the biggest jump, going from the Mountain West to the Pac-10.
Well, and I wrote in my Pac-12 preview, and I've already gotten some flack from one person today. I believe the Pac-12 championship game, first ever, will consist of Stanford and Utah. I think Utah comes out of that. Because you look at it, USC is probably the best program in the South. But they obviously can't participate in the first ever Pac-12 championship game. I think they'll eliminate Arizona because I think USC will beat them. I think Utah beats them. I think Utah, by default, is the Southern Division champion in the Pac-12.
There's no question that Utah is prepared football-wise. Mm-hmm. It's just they're going to be in a, you know, have a whole new venue,
right,
for their product. And I think that's going to bring it's just going to be a real huge change for them. This is a paradigm shift for Utah to be able to be in the Pac-10 after being in the Mountain West. Now, football-wise, they've played at the level of the Big Ten for several years.
Mm-hmm.
Pac-10, excuse me.
Right. Well, don't you think, though, Professor, that Utah, I mean, they, obviously they're a great team in the Mountain West. Don't get me wrong. They were one of the leading programs. But don't you think they fit well in the Pac-12?
Yes, I do. And, of course, I go back when it was eight teams in the Pac-10 or whatever. Maybe it was Pac-8 then. I'm not sure.
It was.
Okay. And Arizona and Arizona State were not in it. But, see, you got Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, so you're covering a huge area there that fits right into the Western geography to give Pac-10 this kind of feel.
It will, and that, I think you're right on that being the story, one of the leading stories this year in college football. I think we will be interested to see the new conference alignments all across the board, and I think we haven't seen the last of conference expansion. I think in coming years, and I'm not speaking directly to the people in Texas, but pretty close to it, I think in coming years we'll see some more shakeup.
Well, there's one other thing about as I look ahead, and that is, what is the off-field activities going to? How's it going to impact Ohio State, West Virginia, and Miami? There's been a great deal of turmoil in all three of those situations.
Well, and I don't think it stops there. Tomorrow, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Tennessee receives most of their punishment football-wise from the NCAA. So that's going to. We'll see if that affects them. There are also other investigations taking place around the country. But you're right. Miami especially, I mean, they're checking the eligibility of 15 players. That is going to really leave a mark on that team. I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see Miami have a disastrous year this year.
Well, West Virginia is not having any penalties or anything, but the situation with them has to do with just there's a change in culture there.
No question.
And the quite amusing situation with the coaches and how that all came about. And it just, to me, it just makes the program look bad.
And the other football program, of course, mentioned there was Ohio State. And you look at the schedule, and Ohio State has to play Wisconsin and Penn State, as we alluded to earlier. They have a tough division as it is to contend with, but all the things that have gone off the field with them. And then you have Luke Fickell coming in as the interim head coach this year, taking over for Jim Tressel. I mean, he's going to be, and rightfully so, you can't fault the guy for this, but he's going to be deer in the headlights in his first year. You have to take that into account. Terrell Pryor's not there. They'll have to break in a new quarterback, break in the other players who are also going to be suspended for the first part of the year or that aren't playing on the team anymore. So it's going to be really a carnival in Columbus to see how Ohio State manages all that. And yes, Ohio State travels to South Beach on week two to play Miami in what could be, I think a lot of people are coming up with creative names for that game.
That's the most ironic game that we've had in a long time. Well, the old professor wants to write something on the chalkboard for you, Jacob. Here's the formula. All right? We're going to take Jeffrey from South Carolina, and we're going to add Blackman from Oklahoma State, and it's going to equal some of the greatest pass catching that we're going to see, just like last year. What do you think about those two great receivers?
Oh, I think there's no question the SEC has been blessed the last couple of years with talent at the skill positions, especially wide receiver, and Julio Jones and A.J. Green are the poster people for that, for sure. I wonder, though, with Blackman, if I'm not mistaken, Oklahoma State has a new quarterback this year.
I'm not sure of that, but I...
And that always affects that kind of thing.
Does.
Now, Garcia, if he can keep his head and be smart off the field, we'll see if he's actually the starter when it rolls around for game time, but I do think Jeffrey is definitely a force to be reckoned with.
Well, as we look at some of these teams, and some of them will be rated high, and they won't have as good a season as anticipated. Some will not be viewed as being really strong, and yet the chemistry things come together, and it will cause some of them to really be stronger and better than anyone anticipated. And so we're ready to put the dough in the oven now, and we can smell the bread cooking. And the aroma is telling us it's just about time for kickoff.
Well, and I'll say, too, you talk about wide receivers. At the end of the year, especially from the SEC, I think there are going to be – there's always somebody who you don't expect to come up and be a threat. And by the end of the year, we'll know him well that we don't know now who that will be. Who knows? I like Russell Shepherd at LSU. I think, of course – he may not have a quarterback to throw to him with all that's going on with Jordan Jefferson, or at least he may not have Jordan Jefferson to throw to him, but I think you'll see somebody we're not expecting. It could come out of another conference, but I think there's no question that people tend to emerge, especially in this conference. I mean, Florida, look at all the talent they have. Could you have a breakout player down there that could really light the scoreboard up?
And Arkansas, people are talking about how they've got the best receiving core in the nation.
Right.
I mean, it just goes on and on. So football is going to be great. We're entering a new season, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, the professor will be with us Tuesdays during college football season as we get it kicked off. Next week will be game week, finally. We will have some games to preview next week, and we will get to those. Georgia plays Boise State and LSU, Oregon, and the most notable ones from the SEC, and we will talk about all those at length next week. But, Professor, appreciate you joining us on this preliminary installment. I think our listeners will enjoy it, and I think this will be a fun segment.
Good. Looking forward to it.
Well, we will continue later on in the week. We'll continue tomorrow with more college football discussion, analysis of the Associated Press Top 25, and who knows what might happen between now and tomorrow.